Well, welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark. I'm the worship pastor here at Bethel Community Church. I'm joined alongside Pastor Brad Belcher. We are getting ready to discuss his passage of scripture that he was preaching from Mark chapter 10. And I was not here this last week, and I was away
you
at Winterfest.
You missed an awesome one.
I know. Yeah, I think I did, because you had some real big, heavy-hitting topics to talk about. You talked about marriage, you talked about parenting, you talked about leaving everything to follow Jesus. So those are kind of the big three in chapter 10. So you started off by talking about that we are called to protect our marriages. So kind of talk a little bit about maybe that first point that you see in the text there.
Well, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus again, and they start cornering him with these questions as he's on his way down south here from Galilee. And they're testing him, and they ask him the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus, as he often does, he returns the favor by asking another question, right?
Yeah.
Well, what did Moses command you? And verse 4, you know, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And of course, Jesus responds to that with, well, it's because of your hardness of heart he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And then he goes into a discussion from Genesis as to what God intended for marriage. But the real problem in our marriages is that we too often have a hard heart towards our spouse.
Yeah.
We become bitter, we become frustrated and angry, and we come to that place where we just don't care anymore. And here's Jesus saying, look, this isn't a problem with marriage, this is a problem with our hearts.
With your heart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that I think that's critical, because he gets right to the issue of it. It's not, the Pharisees in this passage, they're thinking they're doing it right, but he's actually going to cut to the chase and say, no, he's going to actually up the standard for marriage. He's like, that's not the way God designed it in the first place. And their hearts were in the wrong spot.
Right. And which is, I mean, that is the case. Unless our hearts are completely dependent on Christ, then we're going to be messed up and we're going to be hurtful. We're going to be destructive. And our families, our wives, our kids will suffer.
Yeah. So, I guess what type of encouragement can we glean from the passage? Like, how do we go about protecting maybe our marriages and our relationships?
Well, the passage is very clear that, you know, if the problem is a hard heart, well, the solution by implication is a soft heart.
Yeah.
Would it look like for me to have a soft, warm heart towards my spouse, where it's full of grace? It's grace laden, grace encrusted, you know, in terms of my heart as opposed to hard and stony. So how does that look? You know, when, let's say, my wife does something that's annoying or frustrating, I have a choice in that moment to exercise grace, or I can choose to be frustrated. Or angry or bitter or whatever. So in that moment, I have a choice. So let's say I say to Kathy, you know, I ask her to do, you know, some little menial project in the garage or something while I'm away at work or something. Let's say she's home for the day. I say, hey, if you took care of that, that'd be great. And so let's say I drive home and garage door goes open and I see the thing that I asked her to do, she didn't do.
Yeah.
At which point I have a choice now to walk in the house, to exercise grace, and maybe not even bring it up, maybe take care of the thing myself because now I'm home and I have time or whatever.
Yeah.
I can just take care of it, or I can walk into the home and exercise rejection. I can come in and receive her, or I can walk in and reject her. And as I reject her, because, well, I told you to do that thing today and you didn't do it, so now I'm Mr. Angry Man. And I set the tone for the rest of the evening. And, you know, here I've pushed her away. And then later in the evening, you know, when I'm longing to draw her close to me, she's like, look, you pushed me away all day. What's this about? You know, back off, dude.
And I love how you brought it back to the issue of the heart, because that's where it goes. Like, we have to have a heart change. Our heart has to be fixed, and we need to go to the source. Obviously, Jesus can help us with that.
Well, he's the one who can soften our hearts more than all else.
So I think a lot of times we think about, well, let's just do this marriage checklist. Let's do all these things. But it's really not the issue. The issue is our hearts are hard, and they need to be fixed.
Right. It comes down to a heart attitude.
Yeah.
And then Jesus, of course, goes back to the very nature of marriage as God instituted it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. in terms of this leaving and cleaving, one man, one woman, this monogamous relationship for life that he called us to in terms of what he created and how beautiful and wonderful it can be.
Yeah. So the text goes on, not just talking about marriage. They start bringing children to Jesus. And your second point in the passage was talking about cherishing our children. So can we talk about, you know, how do we do that?
Well, the beautiful example here are these parents who are bringing their children to Jesus. Mm. I mean, that's the right thing to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, the disciples are frustrated by that. You know, hey, get these little kids out of here. They're in the way. I mean, we don't have that in the text, but we can imagine what they might be saying here.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, no, let them come. And how often is it that as a parent that I'm the one actually pushing my own child away from the Lord through my behavior, through my lack of care, through sometimes ignoring our children? It's very easy to somehow disenfranchise our kids from the Lord. And we should be the ones of all people as parents drawing them to Christ through how we're living, through how we're loving, how we're caring. And so Jesus just lays this out that this is exactly what we need to do. We need to just cherish our kids by bringing them to Jesus, by not holding them back. And then he also demonstrates that we can learn so much from them.
Yeah.
Just by how they exercise faith, you know. So maybe it is good to have them near so that we can learn from our own kids.
Yeah.
You know, we think we're the one. We know everything and they don't know anything. Yeah, well, maybe not. Maybe there's something you can learn. And then the simple principle of just Jesus in verse 16, taking these children in his arms and blessing them. And, you know, how often is it that, you know, I'm not a blessing to my kids?
Yeah.
And even especially in my presence, it's just oftentimes we can be very dangerous with our families and our little ones, wherein we are the ones who should be embracing them, blessing them, and just being with them.
Yeah. And that's one of my prayers often that I have now that I'm a dad of a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old is that sometimes I'll look at Elijah and I'll ask him to teach me about faith, you know, and I'm trying to like instruct him, but I want him to instruct me like, how does he see the world? You know, and I want to try to adopt that same mindset because that's what he says in the text is like, you have to receive the kingdom of God like a child. And if you don't, you're not going to enter it.
Right.
So I'm trying to be humbled by that and be taught.
No, my three girls are way cooler than I'll ever be. That's for sure.
So the passage goes on and then the ante is upped completely because then you have the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus, calls Jesus a good teacher and talks about all the stuff that he's done, and Jesus kind of loves him and tells him the truth. So,
well, it's quite an irony because, you know, here's this guy who comes and says that he kneels before Jesus, calls him good teacher, kind of really buttering him up, and then, you know, asks the question, you know, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, Jesus backs him up right away in verse 18, like, look, you know, why are you calling me good? What are you trying to butter me up for here? And so he then challenges him. Well, hey, you know the commandments. Don't murder, no adultery, no stealing, no false witness. And this guy, you know, a moment ago, he demonstrates this incredible humility. But then in verse 20, he says, well, teacher, all these I've kept from my youth. And so now we see some arrogance. So, you know, was the humility he was displaying earlier, was this some sort of false humility that was really, you know, about his pride? And I just, it's so beautiful in verse 21 when it just says Jesus looks at him and he loved him. You know, with all of his garbage, with all of his arrogance, all of his showmanship, Jesus just loves this guy. And, you know, he doesn't get in his face about how he's responding. He just asks him one more question. You know, you lack one thing. Go sell all your things, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Mm. And this guy walks away sad.
Yeah.
And it is sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all he needed to do was say, okay.
Right. Yeah.
I'm in. But he's not recognizing his own inability to follow the Lord. And that's what, for us to follow Jesus, we need to understand that left to ourselves, we really can't do it.
Yeah.
And that's why we need his enabling power to do so, which was the second point when, you know, Jesus makes it so very clear how difficult it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. And he says it twice to kind of push the envelope with the disciples. And the disciples start to despair.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then who can get in?
Yeah, right.
You know, who can be saved? If, you know, if it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, yeah, which, then, okay, let's think about that.
Yeah,
let's think of the math of that.
Yeah, there's
you know,
no
let's
way.
Do the physics problem. Let's do an experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich guy to be saved, which, I mean, the implication is, well, nobody gets in.
That's what I love. I love how Mark, you kind of see the literature comes across here, and they were exceedingly astonished, you know, like it's like they were completely bewildered by how this could happen.
And this is building because in verse 24, the disciples were amazed.
Amazed, yes.
And now they're exceedingly astonished, you know, in the Greek, mega astonished. And they're just, you know, because Jesus has just laid down the gauntlet.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like anybody can be saved. Then Jesus makes a simple statement in verse 27, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And even looking back at my own life, and as I know you would say the same thing, Sean, is that it really is only because of God.
Yeah, yeah.
He's made all the difference.
Yeah. So great. We are excited about continuing on in the book of Mark. Is there anything else that you wanted to share from the passage that you saw this week, or as you want to close it out?
Well, you know, Peter then pipes up in verse 28, you know, kind of braggadociously says,
we've
we've left everything. We're doing it right, right? And Jesus said, look, to follow me, you really do need to be willing to leave everything behind. And at the same time, in terms of our leaving, there's so much that we gain. Truly, I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. We have this idea that the missionary who, you know, leaves everything to follow Jesus, go, man, look what they gave up. And no.
Yeah.
Jesus says, no, you got it wrong, man. Look what they've gained.
Yeah, yeah.
They, you know, they basically have won the lottery with God, which is no better place to be in terms of all that God has for us.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like what the Apostle Paul would say, like, you know, these light and momentary afflictions that we face, you know, are not worth comparing to the weight of glory that will be revealed to us.
Yeah, or counting everything as rubbish compared to following Christ.
Right, right. So good. Well, we continue on in the passages next week. Jesus is going to talk about, you know, his suffering that's coming down the line here. He's going to heal a blind man, and then he's going to say one of the most famous statements in the New Testament, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost.
So yeah.
We're excited about this week. And we get to install you this week.
Yeah, it's kind of like Pastor 3.1, you know, and
okay, there you go.
Whatever. I still have that new pastor smell, you know.
Right. Sounds good. So we hope to see you out. There is only one service this week at 11 a.m. We do have 9:30 adult Bible study fellowships that we'll be meeting, but there's one service at 11. Make sure you're there early because I think it's going to be packed.
Should be fun. Thanks, Sean.
See you.